Hello and welcome to the Creative Goddess Summit. I'm your host, Nema Cambona, and today I'm delighted to be welcoming Amanda Holliday. Amanda Holliday is a creative goddess in the field of visual arts, painting, screenwriting, and filmmaking, and so much more. Amanda, as I've said, is an artist and filmmaker and was born in Sierra Leone and came to live in the UK at the age of five. She completed a degree in fine art at Wimbledon School of Art before moving into film and script writing, directing a number of short experimental films for the Arts Council, the British Film Institute, and Channel 4. Between 2001 to 2010, she lived in Cape Town, where she wrote and directed several educational TV series. Since returning to the UK in 2010, she has exhibited in various venues, and she continues to develop film projects as well as promote artwork through Art Funk, translating statement artworks into sought-after homeware pieces. So more on that. So very warm welcome to you, Amanda.
Thank you.
Well, you've called this interview the Creative Polymath, so maybe we should start there. What is a creative polymath? And I'm guessing this is a term that applies to you.
Yes, well, I hope so. I did think long and hard about what to title my talk. But I felt that, a polymath is a kind of a Renaissance woman, and I feel that so much of us are doing this these days. We're doing a lot of things. We're not just specializing in one type of art. There's an idea that you shouldn't be a jack of all trades, but I actually feel in the internet era, we're all global citizens now. We curate our own sort of identities online. We social network. We market. We do business. We multitask. I make art, make films, write, and all these things. So basically, that's how I describe a creative polymath, somebody who has to put their fingers in a lot of pies, really.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And so, as you were saying, we all really have to develop all these skills in so many different areas just to keep up, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. Usually for reasons of finance as well. Sometimes it might be the case that an area of your business is not doing particularly well and you have to extend or rethink. For instance, I went to South Africa. I lived in South Africa for 10 years and came back, and I found that all the doors that used to be open for me in the UK were now closed. So, I had to go around and find different doors to knock on, reinvent myself, try out different things, new avenues. So basically, being a creative polymath was born out of that in as much as anything else.
Absolutely, and taps into this fact that as women, we multitask and we have several skills, and it's great that you can bring them to the fore and keep reinventing yourself. So, of course, we discussed you have a breadth there of work that you do. How would you describe your artwork or what it is, the views that you want to express through your films, through the paintings?
Well, my artwork is figurative. I do have been working on brown paper for a very long time, large pieces of brown paper. I started out doing this series called The Hum of History. And basically, there's a black woman that could be myself or it could be any one of us, really, as a kind of central character walking through these kind of very narrative drawings. Then I've started these turn into smaller works due to space and so forth. But they tend to be narrative works, very colorful works. And the similar ideas, I would say, that I've been exploring in my film. I would say this is often about migration and belonging, a quest, a seeking. There's a lot of that about it in the work. So it's people can read a lot of different ideas into the works. Some of them I would say are a bit autobiographical as well. I did the series called The Bride Who Ate Her Husband. I didn't like to eat my husband. But, you know, it was a series about my marriage. I went into, you know, got married, went to, lived in South Africa, got divorced, and then came back. So it was a kind of series that kind of told the story of a portion of my life. And so, you know, I have done other series as well. So that gives you some idea of the work.
And so did you exhibit this series, or do you exhibit these series? How can we see your work then with these films?
Oh, yes, I have exhibited, not all the works all together in the series. I exhibited at a restaurant in North London, Mango Rooms and Mango Shack. So some of those works were there. I had a solo exhibition in QB, which is another cafe gallery in Brockley in southeast London, and had some older works and some of the more recent smaller works in there. So I look where I can. Now I'm in Camberwell. I've exhibited at some plates. I did a series of 50 plates called Din Din, which are kind of like decorative plates, you know, exploring food and eating in an age of austerity. And they were exhibited in a venue, the Swan, in Camberwell. And I've also exhibited at other cafes in Camberwell as well. So, you know, I try and see where there are. They're not necessarily the avenues that I want to exhibit. I really have these very large pieces of work, and I'd love to try to find a really huge venue to put, you know, to show them all together. But that's actually quite difficult. It's on my list of things to do.
Right, yes, your bucket list. Okay.
Yes.
So anyway, we would come to that. Some of the challenges that you face being an artist and getting your art out there. I guess that there are a myriad of problems. But since you touched upon your residency in South Africa, I'm also intrigued. What did you gain? What were the experiences that you brought back from South Africa? And because you were working in TV, I understand, yes?
Yes, that's right. Yes, South Africa was a very interesting experience for me. You know, I'm originally from Sierra Leone, so I'm from the continent of Africa. My ex-husband was South African, a photojournalist. So it was, you know, I'm from the township of Guguletu. So we lived on the edge of the township initially, and then moved, bought a house in Mowbray, which is in near the university in Cape Town. It, for me, because I was involved in a lot with my husband's work, my ex-husband's work of, you know, journalism, I saw lots of different sides of life that I wouldn't necessarily see as you might as a tourist, you know, kind of a lot of brutality. AIDS was quite rampant in the townships while I was living there. So I was kind of like writing up stories as well on a lot of these issues. So I felt like it was, you know, a kind of a baptism of fire, my life in South Africa, in terms of the world that I was you know, viewing and observing and being part of, in a way, really. So
Were you making like documentaries as well about some of the events? And because obviously you were in the thick of things in that period. Still, I would imagine there's still a transition period, or maybe it's always a transition period.
Yes, definitely, the transition has been going on quite a long time, I would say. I mean, I did visit South Africa very soon after its, you know, after 1994. I went in for the first time in 1995, so I've had a relationship on and off with the country for quite a long time now. And yes, you know, I initially went to South Africa hoping, as a lot of black people from all around the world, America, you know, coming to South Africa, hoping that this is a new renaissance for black people in South Africa and all that kind of thing. And, you know, history has proved to be incredibly disappointing, you know. And I feel that's what I got left with when I left South Africa. I wanted things to change for the majority of people much quicker, really, and I don't think that necessarily that's been happening. But, yes, I was involved in educational TV mainly, which was actually making programs for the SABC on arts and educational. One of them was a really interesting series on African sky stories, collating stories from all over Africa about, you know, the cosmology and the way we, you know, look at the stars and tell stories from them and pass these on. So that was an interesting series. Then another one on ways of seeing, which was basically about looking at the world and how we interpret the world, really. And both of these were from children, and they went out, you know, across South Africa and been repeated numerous times, and probably still are being repeated. So that was an enjoyable part of it, you know, the actual working in television and feeling that I was contributing something.
Yeah, very much, and still remains there, I'm sure, for future audiences to see. Sounds amazing. So you've travelled a lot. You've been in South Africa. You've travelled to LBC UK and other places. What would you say are the challenges you face being a woman artist from the African diaspora? And I mean, it can be taken on so many different layers, maybe just as a woman artist, maybe as an artist, you know, from the African diaspora. Anyway, you've mentioned some of them, so perhaps you can comment on that.
Well, I suppose, you know, being a woman artist in the African diaspora and also living in the West, it's hard for people to position you, you know, so you take on so many different identities, all of which are part of you, you know. I'm Sierra Leonean, I'm British, you know, I'm part of the diaspora, you know, I'm also mixed race. So there's all these different things that you're part of, and I think sometimes other people don't necessarily know where to place you, or you don't know whether you fit in this bag or that bag, or, you know, like all these titles, we're always labels like BME and all these funny things, you know, that apply to us. So there's that side of it, you know, working your way through, I think, I'm going to do this or that, and also not being confined by labels. Nobody wants to be, you know, kind of have labels stuck all over them all the time. You know, doing your own thing, finding a way through it, and, you know, not letting yourself be part of a too small a world, really, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let yourself
yes.
be, I feel that's really important, don't let yourself be too, you know, if you feel you're capable of doing something, do it, basically, you know. I think that's really important.
Okay, and that's part of being a polymath, as you're saying, a creative polymath, so...
Yes, indeed.
Hello?
And I feel, you know, some of the hardest things are you have to keep going, you know, keep knocking on doors, try new things. It isn't always easy. Seize the moment, you know. Also try out different things like this, for instance, you know. I don't know if anyone's ever called me a creative goddess before, but I'm quite happy to wear that hat, you know. So... really, you know, I think it's being able to explore all your various talents, really, and bring them to the fore. I think that's very necessary.
So would that be the advice you would give to young artists starting out today?
Yes, I think they've got a very different world on their, you know, that they're entering than we did or I did at my generation. So yes, my advice would be to, you know, I think they're often a lot more confident than, say, people of my generation coming up now. So I would always say speak up. I didn't always speak up when I was younger. I didn't always sort of seize opportunities. I was a little bit shy, and I just feel that it's really important to make the most of every single opportunity that comes your way. You know, go after everything, but also be humble. I think there can be a sense of entitlement with young people that always feels that they should have certain things, whether or not, you know, you do have to work hard for certain things, you know. Don't be worry about other people's opinions of what you're doing. You know, don't waste too much of your time. And, you know, keep going. Don't be put off by rejection. That's another thing, you know, just keep on getting up, really, because there's going to be a lot of it. You know, if you're going to be successful, there's going to be a huge pile of it, really. So those are my main advice.
Absolutely. I think those are crucial pieces of advice, that to be prepared for rejection, but that's also, you know, it builds you. And also, and then this came up with another speaker, that young people do... these days, I don't know whether it's this phenomenon of social media, but have this sense of entitlement, and so to be a bit humbled by, you know, to learn a little bit about humility. So that has come up. But I guess those things will keep you going and persevering.
Yes, very much so. Yes. I mean, when I was younger, I had opportunities. For instance, I remember once doing a reading of one of my film scripts at the Ritzy Cinema in Brixton, and it was packed out. And the person who organized the reading asked me to come down and speak at the front, and I refused to do it. I was just too shy. And it was just such an awful thing to avoid. You know, I really should have done that. I mean, I wouldn't do it now. You know, I seize every opportunity, but you really have to be there and be the public face of whatever you do. You know, you can't hide behind yourself, you know, in life, especially as a woman. You know, you really can't at any time. So really, that's
Yes.
my number one thing, advice for children, young people and
Oh, and
children.
that's fantastic. And
Yes.
so your public face, part of that is I see your blog spot, amandaholiday.com, yes. Which
I don't.
we can view, am I right? Yes. Which we can view
Where is
your
that? Sorry,
paintings.
I have two old blogs, but
Okay. So that's the one that and so how do we how can we learn more about you? So you're talking about your public face, yes.
Oh right,
How
yes.
can
Well,
we
you can
learn?
Google me, and I think that one of the first things comes up is the you know, Saatchi website, where I've got a kind of long biography there. There's also Mint
Yes.
Arts. I've got some of my works in QB Gallery. You know, I think if you Google Amanda Holliday artist and QB Gallery,
Okay.
there you will see quite a you know, a lot of my works there, which is thumbnails, and you can click on them. You know, I did have this website which has you know, kind of, I've got to renew it, so I've got to get a bit more up to date with my online presence, I think, at the moment. But yes, there is evidence of me on online.
Well, there certainly is, because I found you, and that was through AmandaHolliday.com, and I was, you know, I was really impressed with what I saw, your paintings, and also your experiences. So you talked about your bucket list,
Yes.
but are there other ambitions, other creative projects that you would still love to do?
Well, yes, I'm sure you too. I mean, we all have so much we want to do, and it never stops. I mean, I just feel I haven't actually fulfilled half, you know, even a fraction of my potential yet, in terms of, you know, wanting to get the work that I've already made out there so people see it. You know, there's film scripts I want to turn into films. You know, you know, books I've read that I want to write the scripts of. You know, I've been writing poems based on artists' work recently, and you know, they seem to be, you know, doing quite well. I've been invited to San Diego to read those. I mean, there's so many things that I want to do. It's kind of never ending. You know, I think as a creative person, we're like a well, you know. But so, you know, it's whether you kind of manage to do them all really within a lifetime, I suppose. But yes.
Absolutely, yeah. And yes, please continue.
Yes, and being a creative polymath, you know, it part of that is knowing, you know, what to do at a certain time. I mean, you know, you can't always do these things, or you've written the scripts and then the development goes on for ages, or you don't get the money. And so it is good to have these other things, all these other things that you can do or you want to do, you know, and not get disheartened.
Oh, absolutely. So you talked about the fact that you were born in Sierra Leone and you spent time obviously in the UK, and you've obviously very mixed heritage, and you've traveled a lot. I'm interested in the creative goddesses who may have inspired you. That can be in your life, in your career, in anything you'd like.
Oh yes, well, there's so many, really. I mean, from lots of different fields as well. I mean, artists. I mean, my current inspirations are people like Wangechi Mutu, who's an absolutely amazing artist. There's a Virginia Chahota, Zimbabwean artist, who's actually got a show on in London at the moment. I haven't seen it, but I've been following her work. There's a young artist called Phoebe Boswell, who's also kind of a very internationalist artist. And I went to a talk she gave, which was so interesting, all about spirits and all the kind of things I'm interested in, you know, and magic and myth and so forth. So, musicians as well, you know. I mean, they're kind of like creative goddesses that I would if I was to actually describe a creative goddess, I would say something like Grace Jones or Eartha Kitt, you know, people who kind of got a bit of edge, a bit of magic, you know, Erykah Badu. I'd find all these people huge inspirations, or, you know.
Okay, thank you. Actually, I think the first person you mentioned, she's also been mentioned as a creative goddess as well by another speaker. So, yeah, no, it's wonderful because, you know, these are the people who have made such an impact. And as I say, you never know who you're touching, you're reaching out to, you're affecting. So many people obviously have been, I suppose, touched by your work and really impressed. So it's fantastic. Thank you so much, Amanda. Thank you for sharing. Yeah, lovely. Thank you for sharing your story and being honest about, you know, your journey. And we'll be looking out for you. And I, for one, definitely will try to catch some of your exhibitions, or if you have a film or anything that's showing, I'd really love to see it. So we thank you again for being part of the Creative Goddess Summit.
Thank you very much. It's been great to talk to you.
And please remember to tune in tomorrow. We will have another creative goddess. So we will connect with you again tomorrow.